Good morning. Today is Monday, the 13th of December. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Michael Davies Hughes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Are you ready for Christmas break?
I am ready for Christmas break.
I would figure you've been in a little bit of a whirlwind here the last couple of months and maybe having a little bit of a respite.
It's been fantastic, though. I tell you what, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Well, that's because you volunteered for it, remember?
Oh.
Gee.
Sometimes, good stuff.
It's low-hanging fruit, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what.
Oh.
It's a nice, right, shiny new book that you have there, by the way, Brian, this morning.
Yes, this one's got a brand new title with rubber duckies on it. Why do we say it? Fascinating stories behind over 600 everyday words and phrases. So this is a two-year process.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Am I the first one that you've referenced in this book?
This is the first.
Oh, my goodness.
Page 3, notice no notes.
It's an honor. I hope I get it right.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, we have to counteract your tie. Barnstormer. Why do we say barnstormer?
Well, I think about the barnstormer. I think about those airplanes, those turboprop airplanes flying over the farmhouses and barns. Oh, storm. Barnstormer.
Ish.
Airplanes and barns?
In the early days of the traveling theater, third-rate companies didn't get the best facilities. Many had to settle for almost any empty building. Some held one-night stands in barns. Such a performing group didn't stay anywhere long. Entertainers stormed from place to place, sometimes having to wait for horses and cows to be moved out before a stage could be improvised. A candidate for office who raced from one spot to another, addressing small crowds, had a lot in common with a theatrical barnstormer. From amateurish performers and hack politicians, the term attached to anyone who moves about with a lot without getting much done.
You know, Brian, I probably couldn't have been any further.
You got the barn part.
I did get the barn part, but airplanes?
Airplanes, cows, airplanes. I mean, they're kind of close.
Okay. Thank you. You're being very diplomatic.
Modes of transportation, right?
Just trying to make me feel better first thing in the morning.
Yeah, well, you know, 'tis the season. Ho, ho, ho. Well, have you rearranged the office yet?
The office was rearranged in the first week. Yes.
Good. Yes. I mean, that's one of the things I think that a lot of people, when they're new, just kind of sit in and look at the task instead of really making it theirs.
Sure.
You know, even if it's just rotating the desk 90 degrees. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Just making it theirs somehow.
Yeah. Functionality is big in the workplace for me. If I want something comfortable, I want to be comfortable. But if I really want comfort, I want it at home, right? I don't want the office to be an extension of home.
There was a thought that one of my radio buddies had, and he said, salespeople, right? And I'm sure you've got your parallels, is that we don't want them to get too comfortable in their office, because if they're in their office, they're not out doing their job. Hmm. So none of his guys had an office, and they all had, it was a computer island, kind of like a bar height. No bar stools.
Yeah.
Bar height. And there were like 8 computer stations, and that's where they would come in and do whatever the work was. And then the goal was for them to get out, not to be comfortable, but be functional.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's out of radio now, so I don't know how successful it was.
I tell you what, Brian, one of the things that I'm seeing more and more in office spaces, and our staff included at HCOE, is a request for standing desks. You know, we're spending so much time in front of the computer screen, zooming.
The ones that go up and down?
Yeah, the ones that go up and down.
Yeah. And do they come with the refrigerator unit tucked inside, or is that for senior staff only?
It's an optional extra.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple of folks that I know that have the treadmill as part of it. So they can do their walking as they're there doing. Yeah, I suspect that it took a little bit of time to get the coordination down without face planting into your computer.
Don't give any ideas.
You had that
on
thought
the air
also.
To my staff here.
Yeah.
I don't know about treadmills in the office space. I don't know. I might have to draw the line on that.
Well, it was not the full treadmill, just the one, just kind of like the Jetsons one. You know, just kind of go down below and keep you
moving.
I think
there'd be some workman's comp injuries going on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. Experiences, 2 months on the job.
Has it been that long? Seems like only yesterday, not that long.
Okay, 6 weeks.
November 2nd.
Yeah, well, okay, your second show. Yes. I mark it by how many times we've had to do this.
Second show.
Yes. What's your takeaway so far? Yeah, when you get together with family at Christmas time and they say,
yes,
what's it like? What are you going to tell them?
I tell you what, I made a commitment early on to visit all the programs that we have that are run by the county office, and followed by visiting all the districts, the 31 districts that we have in Humboldt County. And I tell you, my experiences with visiting the programs that are run by the county office have been pretty extraordinary. I want to give a special shout out today to our special educators. So those are educators working with students with disabilities. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, I think I've visited every Glen Paul program. And they have them, I think we have like 19 or 20 different sites throughout Humboldt County. And those are a special group of educators. Just so impressed at how compassionate, patient, and focused they are. They look, truly look this way, Brian, at what is the ability of each student, not what the disability is of each student. That's a very different view.
So build on the strengths.
What can they do,
yeah,
as opposed to what they can't do? I went to graduation for 4 students at Glen Paul last Friday. It was a pretty emotional affair. I mean, you could just tell that so many people had stood behind these 4 students over the years. Pretty special.
Been part of their life.
Yeah.
And yeah, in fact, and that's it's really a program that is behind the scenes. I mean, maybe you drive by when you drop your kids off at Winship, if you happen to have kids going to Winship. Okay. Maybe you go by Winslow. And you see, okay. But you don't really see, I mean, that they're not supposed to be on display.
Right.
They're not supposed to be on stage. I mean, they're supposed to be just treated as a school or a program.
Yeah.
But you hear the stories.
You do. And it's not just the classroom work, too, where these educators are providing these students skills for the workplace. We have a workability program so the students can actually, when they graduate, have those work experiences. There's a woofability program down in Fortuna where the students are actually making dog biscuits and selling dog biscuits as an entrepreneurial effort. It's pretty remarkable, really.
I don't know if you... Were you around when Redwoods United was up and going?
No.
They used to make Redwood planters.
Yeah.
And it was the folks that were... I don't know what the right terms are anymore. Developmentally disabled. That was the phrase at that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the phrase is today. And they just chunked them. Boy, they, and people were buying them left and right, sending them all over the place. I mean, it was a good product, and it was certainly a prideful product, and it was a local product.
Right.
And it was using, pretty much from what I understand, leftovers from the mills.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it. You know, maybe it wasn't as financially viable as what we would like. But I think that there's a lot of interest in not only supporting local, but supporting good local.
That's right.
And if it's made from regular folks or folks that have special challenges, you know, how cool is it that it doesn't matter?
Right.
They just buy a good product, and this is good product.
Yeah, yeah. So fantastic program there. I will say the other side of what I've seen as well, I visited Courtland Community Schools. I went to Juvenile Hall the week before last, the new facility in Juvenile Hall.
And what was your takeaway from Juvie Hall?
I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
not that I don't want to go there as an adult, but as a student. I should rephrase that. It is what they offer there for students in terms of education is phenomenal. Fantastic. Again, really committed educators. So is it a place where students have an opportunity to get a second chance at their education?
The newness of it.
Yeah.
Does it stack up as well, the classroom, the educational components? Does it stack up to everything else that's in the area? Is it new, cutting edge, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it is. It's a great facility. I mean, I won't say it's a beautiful facility because, you know, yeah.
Yeah, the student body isn't one you necessarily want to have, but it's cool that they're giving that support.
They are getting a lot of support, and that's really, you know.
Are those teachers Eureka City Schools? Are they
Humboldt County Office of Education teachers, yeah.
Okay, so they're one of the few that you guys hire directly.
Yeah.
And work with. What kind of profile do you look for those teachers?
Oh, well, just like any other quality educator. They have to have certain training in order to work in that facility. I mean, for example, when students come into the classroom, before the students come into the classroom, every object in the classroom is inventoried. And before students leave to go out of the classroom, every object, paperclip, pencil, eraser, is inventoried. So
that's got to slow down the old process, huh?
Well, I think they've gotten pretty
efficient.
Or there's
got to be a routine to it.
There's an expectation. And students, for the most part, meet that expectation. You know, they know the routine.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and they don't want to screw it up because I would imagine the next choice isn't quite as comfortable and nice.
Yeah. No, the classroom's where they want to be, and that's where they need to be, too.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. Before the break, you mentioned the community schools.
Yeah.
And that you'd had a chance to see some of those programs also, right. Which is, you know, for people that are unfamiliar with the vernacular, what is a community school?
Yeah, it's a school that enables students who have not fit into the regular program, usually because of disciplinary issues, behavioral issues, or they may have been placed there through a school attendance review board process, or the SARB process, and, you know, need an alternate setting to be successful. Some of those students are students that have been expelled from their schools, from their districts, and we as a county office are obligated to provide an alternative for those students. And for us, it's the community school.
Kind of, you're going to get an education whether they want it or not.
You know, they get the education for sure. And it's not, again, one of those programs where you have a special kind of educator, very patient, very committed, understanding that the students are, you know, not, they're round holes in square pegs or, you know.
And that's why I would think that those could be really invigorating environments. because, you know, if a kid is at your school, I'm thinking of Hollenbeck's, but, you know, there are others also, and they are tactile, and they enjoy wood and the tangibility of studying a physics book has got to be just right up there with trying to ride a bicycle cross country without without training.
Without training.
You know, it just isn't going to happen. But in that kind of a scenario where they're doing something, kind of like the old trade schools.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's not relevance.
But a little bit earlier in their age. Yeah.
Otherwise, kids are just going to be disengaged, right? They're just going to be checked out. And with this population especially, what I've noticed in the classrooms that I visited is the teachers give a lot of opportunity for student talk time. So the teacher is not the sage on the stage. The teacher is facilitator.
More of a round table.
More of a round table. And you know what? Building on prior experiences, like children, you know, students sharing their prior experiences and then building their instruction on those students' prior experiences, so making those connections, which is so important.
But that's such a different dynamic than the traditional classroom setting, where here's the game plan or education plan, whatever you want to call it. This is how you're going to punch it out. This is how you're going to approach it. Yeah. Instead of, okay, guys, how are we going to accomplish this?
Right.
And a team learn.
Yeah. Team, you know, think. I do see more of that, though, in the traditional public school setting.
Oh, is that starting to creep in?
Yeah. Teacher as facilitator, as opposed to, you know, that individual that's imparting knowledge upon and spoon feeding the students. That just does not work anymore for students in terms of engagement, right? So it's more of, how can I, this is what we want to accomplish. How can we accomplish this together? How can I help you find the information that you need?
Yeah, learning a topic, developing a skill set, or whatever the goal might be. But it's a different goal. It's not getting through the textbook by the end of June or May.
It's not about what the content that the student learn only, but it's also about the process of how do you get there. Because we understand that in the workplace, those soft skills that employers need, you know, you can learn content, right? You can just take the time and learn the actual skill itself. But how to get along with others, how to problem solve collectively, how to collaborate with teammates, how to share, those kinds of things are the things that help a person be successful in the workplace. So those are the skills that we also have to develop in students, right, as they're going through school.
And make it so that there's a stickiness. They do come back tomorrow.
Yeah. They
progress on that project.
Exactly. Well, they experience success that way, right? They can see those successes and they build on those successes. And then there's a transferability of that as well to other jobs. So you may go down one road, you know, and change your mind and want to go to a different, I mean, a lot of college kids.
Sounds like college,
right?
Yeah.
But if you've got those soft skills, you can transfer those to a different environment.
I think is the one of the more challenging things for a lot of us that are, let's say, plus 35. Yeah, many moons ago, but plus 35. What do you mean showing up for work is a big deal? What do you mean a simple handshake, eye contact, addressing people proper? What do you mean? These kids don't have, they don't know that. Yeah. Either it's not been taught, or it hasn't been reinforced, or, but they don't have those real simple survival skills, I guess would be what they would be called also. So be able to incorporate that in learning concept in that environment, it's got to be very interesting.
It's very interesting, and we're finding right now, during this pandemic, where students had a period of time, about 18 months, when they were out of the classroom, they came back to school and really struggled with some of those soft skills, let's say, those relationship skills, like how to play with others, how to share with others. And so teachers,
it's kind of like everybody was a single, what's the word? You're the only kid in the family.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody was that way and they didn't have to interact with people.
No. So we're having to actually rewind a little bit in some instances where we're having to teach again students things that they have unlearned by being in distance learning.
You know, I would suggest, though, Michael, that is something that was needed all along, interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we had gotten away from that.
Yeah.
You know, I think the current terminology is bullying and, you know, the cyberbullying or physical, you know, some of those types of things versus team play, you know, sports or choir, band, that those type drama where you're relying on others and there's interaction. That kind of had seemed to be on a downward glide anyway with some of the video games and, you know, the cell phone phenomenon.
Right.
Not that it's a passing phenomenon, but a phenomenon.
Yeah.
That it's much more internally focused rather than externally focused. Mm. So maybe that's one of the blessings of this thing, is that we're resetting and going back not 2 years ago, but maybe 25 years ago.
Right. Right. Well, I think the other thing that's been a factor pre-COVID is just the expectations of students in terms of academics and, you know, the big push for academic achievement, which is absolutely important, but it can't be at the expense of some of those other relationship-based skills that students need as they develop. And so I think this has helped us kind of reset those, I won't say priorities, but just to expand what it is holistically to have a successful student.
You've been eating granola and sprouts holistically and collaborative.
Wow.
You know, normally, that's where the ejector button happens.
I know. I must have had my second cup of coffee this morning. Either
that or you need it. KINS, news and information.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 847. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. The concept of discovery, you're going through it now. The
yes, sir.
Programs that we have talked about are doing the same. What do you think is going to be your biggest takeaway from these first weeks, not in charge, but I guess maybe being responsible?
Having some level of responsibility.
I think you end up in the trunk in the back of that bus, you know, but you're responsible for where you go.
You know, I think that one of the great things about coming into an organization new is that you have those rookie eyes, right? So you get to see things for the first time. And so for during these first couple of months, I've been kind of journaling in my own head, looking at these programs, looking at the support systems that we have in place and going, huh, I wonder why we do it this way. And not that I want to change everything, but there are some things that I can see that, oh, I'm going to look deeper into this so that I can think about how we might improve it, you know.
Or have at least an understanding why it is. Is it inertia?
Yeah.
Tradition?
Yeah.
Or is it something because 5 or 10 other options were explored at one point and they just didn't pencil out?
Right. That's the important thing, is to understand the history of the decision making, because maybe, you know, very well that we have very good reasons as to why we're doing things a certain way. And I want to, you know, if they're being successful, let's build on that. I want to support that absolutely. And if there are things that we're doing because we've always done them that way, then how?
Not that they're wrong.
Not that they're wrong. But are there ways that we can make some improvements?
Or worth reviewing at least. Are you meeting with the school boards? Have you had a chance to meet any? Those personalities, because I would
yes.
think that they all have their own messages that they would love to convey. But, you know, how much time do you have to go around at nighttime and still continue to have this thing called downtime or family life?
Yeah. I have not gone to a district school board meeting since coming on board, but that is something that I intend to do.
Other than your own?
Other than our own, yeah. Other than our own.
Yes. Bad optics if you don't show up to your own board meeting.
that would not be a good thing. In fact, we have one tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, two in a row. You're on a streak. So what kind of timeline are you giving yourself? Because, you know, it's not as if you can check out and not be the superintendent as you're going around doing the traveling roadshow.
No.
You hope by spring break to be able to touch bases with everybody?
Within the first 6 months, goal is to have visited every school district. And obviously all our own programs within Humboldt County Office of Education. And then to, I won't say go to every school board meeting at least once, but try to get to as many as I can. Because it's a different flavor in every school district. It's really fascinating.
Maybe get one of those cardboard cutouts. Send it.
Yeah. Are you concerned that have you
ever seen? Have you ever seen? Yeah, Major League.
I have.
Okay, you know when they've got the cutout of the owner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So maybe you could do something where they would just put sticky notes on you.
Mm. Well, sticky
and cover you up rather than. See,
well,
I'm not sure.
Thanks, Brian. That's a good visual this morning. I appreciate that on a Monday.
Well, you imagine the poor school districts if that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go to the printer. See, I want 10 copies of this.
I think that'd be some good
rumors could start all over the place very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That probably won't happen, huh?
Probably not.
Yeah,
probably not.
Yeah. One of those things with no inertia.
And they make good dartboards. Wrapping paper.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, see how flammable they are.
Mm.
That would be another option. Quick and dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's always a fun time over here with you, Brian.
Yeah, I never know. Never know what to walk away with. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
Have fun. See you next month. See everybody else tomorrow.